Good evening. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. Let us begin by thanking our host, Jake Weinman, for his dedication, his passion, excitement, and bringing us together and carrying on his holy work of working of the Marbitz Torah and Klal Yisrael every day, every night, throughout the entire year. Hashem, his accomplishments are noteworthy and very much appreciated. Likewise, we also want to give a shout-out to Mitch Green for his technical assistance in enabling us to come together and learn. And likewise, a special mention to all the Chashuv Rabbanim who make this event, this learning experience possible. Tonight we're going to learn Lezecho L'Nishmat Manash Yitzchak Ben Aryeh, and we want to thank our sponsor for his generosity. We also tonight are going to learn that our learning should be a merit and a zchus to bring a refuah shlema to Avraham Chizkiyahu ben Bluma. May he have a speedy refuah shlema, and again, may this learning be a zchus for him. Refuah shlema. This week, we come to Parshas Kisavai. It's only 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. We have this week, Parshas Kisavai. We have next week, Mitzvah Vayelech. And then we come to the Yom HaDin. Less than 2 weeks to the Yom HaDin, the Din of Rosh Hashanah. It's a frightening time. It's a time to really make a Cheshbon HaNefesh as we come near to this critical moment in our life. The mitzvah of Bikurim is the opening mitzvah of Parshas Kisavai. I'd like to go over an idea tonight, how this, in a way, opens up the season of the Yomim Noraim and how it relates to what is coming upon us in the near future, L'Toiva. Parsha begins with Kisavai, our eyes will come to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, Lechachem, Osem, Lechol, Nachla, L'Rishla, Yashavtova, and the first mitzvah we learn about is Bikurim. A farmer goes out to the field. I'll read the words of Rashi. Rashi is very powerful. Adam Yotze L'Soich Sadeu. A person goes out to his field. V'roya Te'ena Shebikra. And in the field he sees a fig that has ripened. Koirech Olecho Gimi L'Sim. The farmer, what he does is, look at this. This fig is now beginning to ripen. The farmer takes a blade of grass, he wraps it around the fig. The owner, he declares, Hare Zo Bikurim. This fig will be the fig that I bring to the Kohen for the mitzvah of Bikurim. You see here from this Rashi that the mitzvah of Bikurim begins very early. Farmer doesn't just, it's an afterthought now that the fruits have ripened and I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I'll go into the field and find the first fruits and I'll put them together and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. No. The farmer is waiting, anticipating for the fig. The figs are fruits which blossom very early, and also the figs do not all blossom at the same time. They have a unique characteristic. They develop early relative to the other fruits, and they develop at different stages. And the farmer right away is looking, keeping his eye on the figs. When will this fig ripen? And when he finds the fig that ripens, he takes a blade of grass and he sets it aside. This is going to be designated to bring to the Kohen. And then when it blossoms, he takes the fig with all the other first fruits and he goes to the Kohen and he presents it in the basket and he does the entire ceremony. He got it to Yom Hashem Elokecha, and as Rashi tells us, the major theme of Bikurim is to declare She'einecha Kafui Tais, is to show your thank you, to present HaKadosh Baruch Hu your expression of HaKorach HaTais, a recognition of gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for all of the kindness and the blessing that he has done for you, giving you food, giving you what to eat, giving you blessing and prosperity. We have a very interesting halacha. Not I shouldn't say halacha, let us discuss a custom. There is a custom. It's a halacha, actually, that when a person sits down to eat bread, and many people are familiar with this, especially at a Suda Friday night, Shabbos day, and you take in your hands the Lecha Mishnah, the two loaves of bread, and you take a knife and you recite Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. Where in the loaf of bread do you, where in the loaf of bread do you slice the bread? Which part of the loaf does one take his knife upon the bread and slice? So the halacha is the part of the bread that has turned into a crust, has hardened first, the part that is the most well-baked. Truth is, those two parts really go hand in hand. There are different expressions. In fact, I'll read to you the words of the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin of Kuf Beis on the Beis says, what is the question? Meheicha, where the question is, where does one cut the bread? And the Gemara answers, Meheicha Bikorim Bishula. And Rashi there explains that to mean the place where the crust of the bread is the most well baked. Mimakoim shenikramim ponecha shel pas betano, and mimakoim shemakdim hapas leefos. The place where the bread has begun to bake, the place that is the most well baked. And first, we'll explain that rule. It's all the same idea. And in fact, there are many people that before they actually make the bracha, they look at the bread, they look at the challah, and they look to find that spot on the surface of the challah that is well done, more well done than the other portion of the loaf of bread, and they make a sign, a siman. They take the knife and they cut it very, very slightly in that location as a sign to know exactly where it is, so that after they make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, they should not need to search once again to find that section of the surface of the challah to slice with their knife through the loaf of bread. Everyone, of course, has seen this. Everyone does this. Before you make the bracha, you look at the top of the challah, you find that portion that's well done, you make a little niche with the knife, and then you recite the bracha with kavana, and then you go back to that spot that you made a very slight indentation, and that's where you slice the bread. This is what it says should be done in the Gemara and the Sechta Sanhedrin and the Kuf Beis on the Beis. The question is, where should we slice the bread? And the Gemara answers, Meheicha Dekorim Bishula, the part of the crust that is the most well done. There's a sefer called the Torah Chayim. This is a very holy sefer on the Sechta Sanhedrin. And he says something there very fascinating. When a person fulfills this custom, this minhag, this halach of cutting the surface of the bread, he is in essence fulfilling an element of Bikurim. It's equivalent to bringing to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash the first fruits. Doing this custom of cutting the bread where the crust is hard is, in essence, is the key of the mitzvah bikurim. So when the person cuts the loaf of bread, according to the Sefer Torah Sachayim, he is in essence, he is fulfilling a dimension of bringing bikurim to Hashem. I'll read the words. The words are, and what is the similarity? Where is there a similarity between the mitzvah bikurim and cutting the loaf of bread? The similarity lies in the word righteous. Just as when a person brings bikurim, the Torah says that you shall bring the righteous pri ha'adama from the first. Likewise, when you slice the bread on the portion of the bread that was baked first, that's also a rachis, a fulfillment of a beginning. And I think we can extend upon this with the Rash that we quoted before. Rashi goes out of his way. The words of Rashi are very precise and very measured. Rashi says, how does one fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim? Odom, a person, Yoyret, he descends, Losoch Sadeu, Viroya, to Eino Shadikra. He looks for a fig that is beginning to blossom. He takes the blade of grass. He ties the blade of grass around that fig. Korech Olecho Gini L'simen. He ties a blade of grass around this fig as a sign. The Oimer, and he says, Harei Zu Bikurim. Isn't that exactly what we do when we mark the portion of the challah before we make the bracha Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz? We're looking, where did this bread develop? Where was it baked first? And we make a simen. We don't tie a blade of grass around that portion, but we take our knife and we make a small indentation, a small cut, to mark the location. And then we make the bracha Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, and then we slice the bread. We look for the rachis. And according to the Teres Chaim, this is today a way a person can almost reenact the essence of the mitzvah of Bikurim. Why do we make blessings before we eat food? It's a way of expressing our gratitude to Hashem for the blessing, for all of the good that He has done for us, especially when it comes to bread. When we recite the blessing, the Birchas Hamazon on bread, we recite Noyde Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Al Shem Chalto Lavoseinu Eretz Chemda Toivu Rechava. We review a little bit of the history of Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to Eretz Yisrael and given us this land, similar to the long Vidui that we recite when we bring Bikurim. There's a lot of similarities between the process of eating bread and the brachas that accompany the bread. When we make the Hamotzi, it's the beginning of a experience where we're going to express our gratitude to Hashem, we're going to mention Eretz Yisrael, we're going to go through a little bit of the history of the Jewish people, and just like when it comes to Bikurim, we look for the beginning of the blossoming, the beginning of the blossoming of the first fruits, we also look for that very beginning of the baking of the loaf of bread, making that mark. We search for the makom of a rachis when we eat a piece of bread. This is the idea of the Teres Chaim with our elaboration. But let's go a little bit further. It is interesting that in Rosh Hashanah, there's a beautiful minhag, not really so clear where the minhag comes from, but we dip our bread in honey. Now, the main custom of dipping in honey is really in reference to the apple. We dip the apple in the honey. There are many Kabbalistic concepts and ideas that are tied into this, but it's very common in Klal Yisrael, where in addition to dipping the apple in honey on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, we dip our bread in honey. And many extend this custom not just on Rosh Hashanah, they extend it throughout the entire season, all the way through Shemini Atzeres. There are different customs, different people do different things, but certainly on the night of Rosh Hashanah, it's very common to recite the Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz and then dip the bread in honey. And what are we dipping in the honey? We're dipping in the honey the portion of the bread where we etched a mark, where we put a sign, a simen, where we slice the Hamotzi. That's the first thing that gets dipped in the honey. That first cut, that first slice of bread. Now let's go a little bit further to explain the significance of this idea. The Gemara in the Mesechta Sanhedrin tells us of a fascinating story. The Gemara tells us about the author of the Talmud Bavli. Who is the one that compiled and authored the bulk of the Talmud Bavli? Everyone knows there were two people, two main editors, Ravina and Rav Ashi. So the Gemara relates about Rav Ashi. He was giving a shir, and he was up to learning about the king Menashe. Menashe was one of the most evil kings in history of the Jewish people. Manasseh was a king for 55 years. In his reign, he introduced idolatry throughout the land of Eretz Yisrael. He put the Jewish people down a path of evil from which they were unable to remove themselves. Even after he died and after the death of his son, Amon, who was equally as evil, when Yoshio came after and tried to bring about a movement of teshuva, the damage of Manasseh was so enormous that it was impossible to fully repent in order to spare ourselves, to spare the nation from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Ashi was giving a shiur, and he told the Talmidim that, you know, we have to stop now. Tomorrow, Mochor, Nafchil Lidroish B'Shloisha Melachim, we're going to speak about three kings, Achav, Yeravam, and Manasseh, Shehem Chavereinu, our friends. We're going to talk about these three people. He called these kings, including Manasseh, with a term that was derogatory. They are our friends, our companions. In essence, what he was saying, according to the commentators, is that their degree of Torah knowledge was equivalent to us. We have a general principle that the people of the previous generations were much greater, much more knowledgeable, much greater in their Torah knowledge. And this statement to call Manasseh a colleague of Rav Ashi was referring to Manasseh as a colleague, was deemed to be an insult to the scholarship, the Torah knowledge of Manasseh. To the degree, the Gemara relates, that night, Manasseh came to Rav Ashi in a dream and said to him, "How dare you call us your friends? We're not your friends. Our Torah knowledge is on a league way above and beyond anything that you can imagine. How dare you, you, the holy Rav Ashi, who wrote the Talmud Bavli, Manasseh, who was the king, Manasseh lived at least 1,500 years before Rav Ashi. He said, let me reveal to you the difference between you and me with a simple question. Let's see who's a real Torah scholar. Rav Ashi, let me ask you a question. When you slice a loaf of bread, on what spot of the bread do you slice? Where do you cut first? The sugya that we've just discussed." And shockingly, Rav Ashi said, "I do not know the answer." Manasseh then said to Rav Ashi, "Look at this. You don't even know the answer to a simple question as to where on a loaf of bread one should cut and slice after he recites Hamotzi, and you're calling us your friends that were equals, were colleagues? You don't even know the Aleph Beis." Rav Ashi was embarrassed, and Rav Ashi says, "I'm sorry, you're right. But at least tell me the answer. And in fact, if you'll tell me the answer tomorrow in the class, I will repeat the halacha in your name." And Manasseh told him the halacha, "Boitzim, we slice esapas me'amokim from the location, she'oile krum al pnei hapas betana. We slice the bread on the location where the crust hardens first in the oven, as we've discussed." And then Rav Ashi said, "Tell me, Manasseh, if you're such a great Talmud Chacham, indeed it's true, your Torah scholarship is in a league that's high, it is exalted level, higher and much greater than anyone in our generation. How could it then be you've committed such horrific averos for 55 years, sent the Jewish people down the path that led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash?" Manasseh responded, "Rav Ashi, You don't understand. In our generation, we lived with a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, something which you do not have, something which was canceled by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. The loft, the taiva of Avodah Zarah was so great, it's not possible for you to understand. If you were living in our generation, you wouldn't be like me. When I went to worship an idol, I walked slowly, calmly. If you were living in my generation, you would lift up the hem of your garments to run to worship the idols. You can't possibly understand the Yetzirah we had to worship idols. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the people of our generation were very great, including themselves. And he illustrated this with this halacha of Bitziah Sapas. Now let's take everything that we said and put everything together. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, we come to slice a loaf of bread. Bread represents life. Kiloy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. On Rosh Hashanah, we're coming to beg Hashem for a year of life. When we pick up the bread in our hands, bread is life. It is a symbol of life. Kiloy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. It's not the bread alone. We need the words of Hashem. But bread is indeed, this pasuk makes it very clear, it is a metaphor of life. We slice the bread. Where do we slice the bread? We slice the bread in the part that has turned into a crust first as a reminder of the mitzvah of Bikurim, as if to say, Ribbono shel Olam, we have gratitude to you. We're not kofri toiv. We have gratitude. We express our thanksgiving to you for the bracha, the benefit, the prosperity, the gift of life. And then we slice the bread. And we then take that slice and we dip it in honey. What are we doing? We are remembering Menashe. Menashe, the evil king of the Jewish people. Because the truth is, are we really any better? Are we tzaddikim gemurim that have committed no harm, have done no averos? Can we say we're really better than Menashe? And yet, we take that slice of bread. The halacha of where we slice the bread was taught to the Jewish people by Menashe. And what do? We dip it in honey to sweeten, as if to say, Ribbono shel Olam, we're well aware that we, in some form and way, we identify in our humility with Menashe. We also have committed averos. But Ribbono shel Olam, is it really our fault? We have a Yetzirah, we have taiva. It's difficult. Menashe said to Rav Ashi, if you were living in my time, you would have lifted up the hem of your garment to run to worship of Avodah Zarah. You don't understand how difficult the nisoyon of the Yetzirah, how great it is. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, by dipping the crust of the bread in honey, we're saying, Ribbono shel Olam, we're well aware we have done averos. We've lifted up this past year our hem in order to run to do averos. But Ribbono shel Olam, have pity upon us. It's a very great difficulty. It's a nisoyon. We have a Yetzirah. Sweeten the din. Sweeten our life. Just as Menashe said to Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi, you don't understand. It may seem to you, from your perspective, that we were evil, we were wicked, we caused the Jewish people to be michshol in Avodah Zarah, we set them down the path which led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But Rav Ashi, understand, we had a Yetzirah that's beyond your comprehension. This is what we're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Indeed, we have sinned. We are focusing on Menashe, who taught the Jewish people the halacha of Betziyas Hapas. And we don't just cut the bread and eat the bread. We sweeten that portion that we slice in honey as an expression of asking Hashem to have mercy upon us and sweeten the din, the harshness of din, with rachamim, with mercy. So we should merit a new year, a blessing. And in fact, at the end of Bikurim, Rashi tells us that when we bring the Bikurim, there's a baskel that comes out of Shemayim that says that just as you brought the Bikurim this year, you will merit in the following year to bring Bikurim as well. That's the conclusion of the words of Bikurim. Let me see if I can read the pasuk. Rashi, after we go through the whole long history, v'samachta b'chol hatoiv, when the person brings the Bikurim, there's a baskel that says, just as you have merited to bring the Bikurim this year, may you merit to bring the Bikurim next year. That's the bracha of Bikurim. To summarize very quickly, we learned tonight about the halacha of Betziyas Hapas. We cut the bread in a very precise location. This halacha was taught to us by Menashe. Menashe, in the process of teaching us this halacha, was melamed sechus upon himself, telling Rav Ashi about the nisoyon, the test of the Yetzer Hara. Rav Ashi accepted. Rav Ashi taught the halacha in his name to bring a zechus to Menashe. We do just that on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we take the bread, which represents life. We make a mark, which represents Bikurim, the simen. We recite the bracha. Ultimately, we will recite Birchas HaMazon as a reenactment in a small form of the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah of recognition of Hashem's kindness, of gratitude. But we go further by sweetening this portion of the bread to bring forth the conversation between Menashe and Rav Ashi, as if to beg Hashem, we're also like Menashe. We also have shortcomings. But have rachmanis upon us by recognizing it was because of the Yetzer Hara, not because of us. May this take us into the next year, to a year of blessing, prosperity, success. Imale Hashem kol mishale secha l'toiva. Yet Hashem will try to continue some of these ideas next week before Rosh Hashanah. But we have to now get ready for the Yom Hadin. Thank you very much for coming tonight to learn. And may you all have a week of success, bracha, prosperity, and simcha. Good night.